Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I will be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Tuesday, May 18th. Let's begin. Central Illinois students win Team Chess National Championship. For two Central Illinois students, two heads really were better than one. Aiden Turgot of Decatur and Jason Daniels of Normal excelled apart, finishing second and 13th respectively at the 2015 National Elementary Chess Championship from May the 8th to the 10th in Nashville, Tennessee. But together they stood even taller, winning the national championship in Bug House, 2 versus 2, chess played on two boards side by side. Turgot, a fifth grader at Mount Zion Intermediate School, said that he met Daniels, a sixth grader at Chittix Junior High School, when they were almost infants, but already chess experts. "We met when we were 6 and 7 years old in a chess club in Bloomington. Jason was playing with a college girl and beat her," Turgot said. "We played together in a camp in Bug House and decided to try our luck at Nationals." Because the pair live 45 minutes apart, they practiced only a few times, but Turgot said they developed teamwork and a small rivalry quickly. "We try to beat each other when we play for fun, but we're also good partners and work together well," he said. While Daniels will be too old for the K-6 Bug House contest next year, Turgot hopes they will continue to compete as partners. "We'll try to do our best again," he said. Benjamin Elementary School's Advaith Prabhu also excelled at the tournament, taking 7th nationally and leading his team to 17th place. Other local elementary schools participating included Colleen Hoos, Glen Grove, Metcalf, North Point, Prairie Land, and Washington. Grove's team took 16th place nationally and Chittix finished 22nd. Chittix and Grove also participated in the 2015 National Junior High Chess Championship from April 24th to the 26th in Louisville, Kentucky. Chittix finished 8th. Other local junior high schools to complete included Bloomington, Evans, and Kingsley. Benjamin Elementary also sent a team to Junior High Nationals. IWU Peace Garden brings students together. Not even a rain shower could dampen the spirits of students from an interfaith group and friends working last week in the Peace Garden at Illinois Wesleyan University. "I won't have to go to the gym today," said Queen Igomu, a sophomore in biology from Nigeria, drawing laughter and nods of agreement from others. "Community is built up around community gardening and food pantries," said Elise Nelson Winger, IWU chaplain and advisor to IWU Interfaith, as she joined in the sometimes muddy fun. IWU Interfaith meets most Thursdays during the school year for conversations about spiritual life with fellow students from various religion and non-religious traditions. But last Thursday, the discussion was more about gardening traditions, or lack thereof. About a dozen students volunteered, the first large group to participate this spring, as the Peace Garden is entering its 4th growing season, said summer garden manager Rachel Schaefer, a junior in political science and international studies from Puyallup, Washington. "They planted, weeded, and worked the soil. The need for watering was limited thanks to Mother Nature's volunteer rain shower. Last week's session served two purposes. It not only provided needed labor to the garden, but it also provided an opportunity for members of IWU Interfaith to get to know each other better. Volunteer work and working with each other is really a good way to connect, especially if you're from different faith backgrounds," said senior Tess Kelly, a biology major from LaGrange, Illinois, who is a multi-faith ambassador. "Common experiences build bridges. Many of those who volunteered were like Igomu, for whom gardening was a relatively new experience. I don't do this very often," Igomu said, recalling that she planted beans in elementary school as a class project. Likewise, sophomore Sidlali Gonzalez, a sophomore in international studies from Melrose Park, said, "This is very new to me. But after a friend invited her, she decided getting involved in something seemed like a good idea. The Peace Garden began in 2012 as a way to address the food desert on Bloomington's west side, provide vegetables to the campus, and have an impact on Bloomington Normal food sustainability. A variety of produce is grown outside and in a hoop house, similar to a greenhouse, on land near the university's football practice fields. The garden includes mixed greens, arugula, tomatoes, potatoes, and corn salad, or mache, according to Schaefer. Some of what is produced is sold to Naturally Yours Grocery in Normal, she said. Local food pantries also receive produce from the garden. Volunteers, such as those from IWU Interfaith, provide a lot of the labor. Town signs agreement to manage investment portfolio. The Normal City Council on Monday approved an agreement to have U.S. Bank manage its investment portfolio that includes about $36 million in town funds. Finance Director Andrew Hoon said the investments will follow the town's investment policy, which also was approved by the council Monday, and are expected to increase the town's rate of return from the current $128,000 a year to $400,000. The town will pay U.S. Bank about $54,000 to manage the portfolio. We've been fairly passive with investments to date, Hoon said, mostly depending on investment pools and checking accounts because of the time involved in active investments. U.S. Bank has a lot of depth and expertise in investing and will be able to invest the town's money in such things as certificates of deposit, U.S. treasuries, and money markets, he said. The town will continue to have oversight. None of the investments will be for more than 5 years, and a majority of the money will be in shorter-term investments, so it will be available if the town needs it. The money is from the General, Water, Sewer, Vehicle Reserve, and Capital Improvement Funds, and does not include pension funds. In another matter, the council heard from Mike McCurdy, president of Bike Blono, who urged the town to complete another step in its bike pedestrian plan by adding a bike lane on Parkside Road and completing changes on Shelburne Drive that would include a buffered bike lane on part of the road and bike lanes on another stretch. McCurdy also said the Friends of Constitution Trail would like to see some additional signs at Constitution Trail and Robb Road, and the trail at Vernon Avenue to improve safety. City Manager Mark Peterson said the town has hired a consultant to look at Shelburne, and the town also is considering safety measures that could be implemented at the two trail intersections. McCurdy said the Bike Blono is in the midst of creating a diversion program for bicyclists or motorists who get tickets for not obeying laws when it comes to sharing the road. The program would offer an alternative to paying a ticket. Expert, Unity Key to Bloomington Normal Economic Growth. Bloomington Normal and McLean County have a lot of economic development drivers, including a superb quality of life, good schools, and a good infrastructure. But when it comes to regional collaboration on economic development, the area is in the toddler stage, according to Ioana Morfesis, who specializes in helping communities and companies create and make changes in growth strategies. Morfesis was engaged by the Central Illinois Regional Airport Authority, the McLean County Chamber of Commerce, the Economic Development Council of the Bloomington Normal Area, the Bloomington Normal Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, and the McLean County Regional Planning Commission to study the current conditions and develop an economic development strategy for the area. The cost of her work was covered by the private sector, said Charlie Moore, president and chief executive officer for the chamber. She presented her preliminary findings Monday at a joint meeting of the Bloomington and Normal City Councils and the McLean County Board. Mortesis said the area will not be the place for next generation job seekers if you don't work with one another and commit for the long term. Change will take 7 to 10 years. The community needs to be patient. Governments need to stick to it for 10 years. In preparing for her study, Morfesis talked with 191 stakeholders, held 10 stakeholder round tables with people from all walks of life, and also had anonymous interviews to determine the area's strengths and weaknesses. Chief executive officers look for 5 things in a community to help them keep and attract the kind of workers that they want, she said. Bloomington Normal ranks high in some of the 5. Good schools, housing, and commute times. It scored low on having an economy that supports a 2-income family, and there is some question whether it welcomes diversity, especially Asians who work in the tech sectors, she said. Young people are colorblind, ethnic blind, she said. They need a community that welcomes diversity and values it. Morfesis said the community needs to create entrepreneurial partnerships, and she recommended redevelopment of downtown Bloomington. She also said the 3 entities need to show support for each other. Businesses don't care about the street that divides Bloomington and Normal. They care about how well government works together and how well government and businesses work together. The number one priority is to engage and embrace regionalism. Morfesis will present specific recommendations at a community meeting in August. Center for Integrated Wellness. Partnership breaks ground for $35 million Wellness Center. Ground was broken Monday afternoon for what partners believe will be the future of healthcare. About 150 people gathered as representatives of Advocate Broman Medical Center, McLean County Orthopedics, Method Sports Performance, Sequoia Wellness, and Signet Enterprises spoke and performed a ceremonial groundbreaking for the Center for Integrated Wellness. Healthcare is shifting to wellness and prevention and away from treating people only when they are sick. Advocate Broman President Colleen Canaday told Pantograph after the groundbreaking ceremony south of McGraw Park and north of Central Illinois Regional Airport. This project will help us to continue on that journey, Canaday said. Plans call for a $35 million, 105,000 square foot facility at Trinity Lane and Cornelius Drive to include a medically based fitness center, sports performance institute, orthopedic center, imaging center, community education area, and physician offices. The future is keeping people well, said Dr. Jerome Oki, vice president of McLean County Orthopedics. We want people to be active participants in their wellness, he said. This integrated wellness venture is the correct thing to do for our community and something that we, MCO, couldn't do on our own to this scale. The center would be developed by Signet of Akron, Ohio, and would be funded by Signet, not Advocate, said Canaday and James Ellis, Executive Vice President of Integrated Wellness Partners, a Signet company. Ellis has helped to develop similar centers in other parts of the country. This is a different model, Ellis said. This should mean zero impact on healthcare costs, except for lower costs in the long term as people get healthier. MCO 2502 East Empire Street, Bloomington, needs more space and wants to return to all operations, now spread over 3 locations under 1 roof, Oki said. Meanwhile, doctors Joe Norris and Joe Newcomer, also orthopedic surgeons, founded Method, which Norris described as a science-based sports performance center with physician oversight. Norris and Newcomer began looking for a space and concluded that locating in a building with MCO, Advocate Broman, and Sequoia would best serve their patients and athletes, Norris said. Method will have about 12 employees, Norris said. The Advocate Broman Health and Wellness Center will be managed by Sequoia Wellness, which is a part of Signet, and would include cardiovascular equipment, group exercise classes, an aquatics area, and free weights. The medically integrated fitness center would not compete with existing gyms because its target populations would be people who need to manage chronic diseases more effectively, people who need to lose weight before surgery, and people who need therapy after surgery, Kanade said. Broman will relocate its cardiovascular and pulmonary rehabilitation center from Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal to the new center. Employees will be added, but Kanade doesn't know how many yet. A person could be doing rehabilitation in one part of the center while their child is doing sports performance training in another part, Kanade said. This will help individuals to be accountable for their own health and well-being, so fitness becomes a part of their lifestyle, Kanade said. The center is scheduled to open in fall 2016. Danvers traffic diverted after ice truck accident. A single vehicle accident involving an ice truck was blocking two lanes of traffic Monday afternoon at the Y curve just south of Danvers. The accident occurred at 9:45 a.m. Muddy tracks could be seen plowing through the grass at the curve. The truck driver was not injured, said police. Traffic has been diverted around the accident scene. Responding agencies include the Danvers Police and Fire Departments and the Illinois State Police, which is handling the investigation. Leroy High School held its graduation ceremony at 2 p.m. Sunday in the school gymnasium. Valedictorians are Carolee Quinn White and Brandon Robert Woosley. Salutatorians are Lindsay Lee White and Janae Lynn Cabe. Charges allege Bloomington Normal man harassed Bloomington Police Department officer. A Bloomington man convicted of intimidating a judge in 2013 faces new charges, accusing him of harassing a Bloomington police officer. Kevin Simpson, 49, is charged with two counts of cyber stalking and one count of telephone harassment. Court records identify the victim of the alleged offenses as Police Lieutenant Tim Stanessa. Simpson was sentenced to 2 years on probation in February 2013 for intimidation of now-retired 11th Judicial Circuit Chief Judge Elizabeth Robb. The charges related to Simpson's repeated phone calls and efforts to meet with her about his family court case in December 2012. He was ordered to complete a mental health evaluation as part of that case. Now, the new cyberstalking charges allege Simpson used the internet to post derogatory remarks and a photograph of Stanessa between May 11th and 15th. The telephone harassment allegation states Simpson left a harassing voicemail for the police officer on May 15th. Simpson was released after posting $5,025. As part of his bond conditions, he was ordered to have no contact with the police officer. Suspect not sought in Bloomington shooting. Bloomington police are not looking for a suspect in what they are calling an isolated incident involving a shooting on the city's west side Sunday night. The victim remained hospitalized Monday at Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal. Bloomington police arrived in the 400 block of Catherine Street to find a 19-year-old man with gunshot wound to the chest. The officers provided medical assistance before the victim was transported to Broman, said police spokeswoman Sarah Mayer. His condition was not disclosed. Police recovered a gun at the scene. At this time, we are currently not looking for a suspect, said Mayer, declining to offer further details because of the ongoing investigation. We believe this was an isolated incident. In business news, cheese store to open in Normal. A new store specializing in cheese and crackers is expected to open next month in the former It's Poppin' Gourmet popcorn location in Normal. "I would be shocked if we couldn't open sometime in June," said Cheese and Crackers owner Bart Basie. "We don't have a set date yet, but as soon as the public health inspections are complete and our equipment is in, we will open." The shop at 1520 East College Avenue will feature more than 250 cheeses. He added that the store is much more than just cheese and crackers. It will be similar to a champagne location, which also includes things like meat and chocolates. "We will have the freshest fish counter in town," Basie said. "Everything is hand-cut in-house. No fish will be in our store longer than 24 hours, and so we ask that customers order it the day before. Often it is harvested the day the order is placed." Also, more than 100 different cured meats are expected to be available at the new store. Basie said he also spends a lot of time looking for chocolates that his customers might enjoy and will usually have more than 50 different types in the store. Chocolates can come from local producers or even overseas, from countries such as France, Italy, Germany, Spain, and England. "Really, we look for world-class chocolates," he said. "We think we will be much different than anything else you will find. My wife Mindy and I travel a lot, and we are always looking for new chocolates. And when we find something, we will make a few phone calls and get it." Basie said the champagne store has been open for 5 years, and he credits the unique display of foods and competitive pricing for his success. "We never have sales, but we have fair prices," he said. "Every day we have free cheese, meat, and chocolate tastings. We will have catering trays available to both small and large groups. We really think we have a great store, and we are excited about opening a location in Normal." The store hours will be 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. Cider, as American as apple pie, Carbondale. 7 years ago, Brad Genung took a healthy gamble. "There wasn't enough going on with apples in my mind," said Genung, owner of Cobden-based Owl Creek Vineyard. "We kind of foresaw the trend of cider taking off." So Genung and his team set to work developing the Apple Knocker brand of hard ciders. Each year since the line debuted 3 years ago, sales have doubled. Today, Genung said, cider sales have solidly surpassed wine sales at the 35-year-old winery, and bottles of the brand's three cider styles are sold in 5 states. At the same time, hard cider is the fastest-growing trend in the alcohol industry nationwide, with sales increasing by 75.4% in 2012 and another 67.7% in 2013, according to the Beer Institute, a Washington, D.C.-based industry advocacy group. Sales still only account for 1% of total beer sales, so there's plenty of room for growth. Of the 6 cider makers in Illinois, 3, including Owl Creek, are along the Shawnee Hills Wine Trail, according to the Cider Market, a website that maintains information about the industry. Pomona Winery in Alto Pass and Von Jacob Vineyard also sell ciders. "We do very well with it," Von Jacob employee Elise Simcock said of the company's Streakin' Johnny Hard Cider. "That is definitely one of our more popular items." "Sales have been on the rise in the past few years," she said. The cider renaissance also has benefited Southern Illinois growers. Genung sources his apples exclusively from Rendelman Orchards and Fromm Orchards. Though Rendelman owner Ren Searle said, "Sales for hard cider production pale in comparison with grocery store sales. It's a promising market. We're just getting into that area of marketing now because the breweries and the wineries have just really started to look into hard cider," he said. "It is kind of a new phenomenon." Searles said Southern Illinois orchards tend not to grow the old-timey apple varieties traditionally used in cider production. Those apples with names often unfamiliar to modern ears tend to be smaller and bitterer. Even though Genung has had success using more standard grocery store fare, the Jonathan and Golden Delicious apples of the world, he thinks the local industry could benefit from a bit of expansion. He's making plans with local orchards to start growing some of those old growth varieties. Thanks to the cider resurgence, many of the orchards that stock those varieties on the East Coast, in the Pacific Northwest, and elsewhere are struggling to keep up with demand, and keeping things local fits the craft style that Genung champions. "It's a beautiful thing," he said. "We've got well over 1,000 acres of local orchards here. There's no excuse not to." Danvers getting new water treatment plant. A new $3.2 million water treatment plant in Danvers should be completed by the end of the year. City officials and staff broke ground on the project in April in an effort to comply with standards issued by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. "We have higher levels of naturally occurring arsenic in the water, and the EPA is requiring us to do this," said Village President Tom Casely. In January 2001, the EPA adopted a new standard for arsenic in drinking water at 10 parts per billion, replacing the old standard of 50 parts per billion. The EPA gave governments 5 years to comply. "We have been cooperating with the federal EPA, and they are satisfied with the progress that we have made on this," Casely said. "After it is built, we will have to closely monitor the readings for a year, but we are confident that this new system will do what we need." Village officials ran a pilot test in the fall of 2013 to evaluate what equipment would be necessary. Utilizing the pilot test as a model, the new water treatment process includes aeration, chemical oxidation, and post-chlorination to remove natural occurring arsenic and iron. The new facility, located next to the existing treatment building, is being funded by a public water supply loan program through the Illinois EPA. Leander Construction of Canton is the general contractor for the project. Design work was completed by MSA Professional Services of Champaign. Business Achievements Announcement. Rudy named CFP. Kingston Wealth Management Group is proud to announce that Chris Rudy has been authorized by the Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, CFP Board, to use the Certified Financial Planner and CFP certification marks in accordance with CFP Board certification and renewal requirements. Rudy has worked at Kingston Wealth Management since 2012 and is responsible for working with clients in financial planning, investments, retirement planning, and insurance. CFP marks identify the individuals who have met the rigorous experience and ethical requirements of the CFP Board, have successfully completed financial planning coursework, and have passed the CFP certification examination covering the following areas: the financial planning process, risk management, investments, tax planning and management, retirement and employee benefits, and estate planning. CFP professionals also agree to meet ongoing continuing education requirements and to uphold CFP Board's Code of Ethics and Professional Responsibility, Rules of Conduct, and Financial Planning Practice Standards. We've come now to the end of the first half hour of the Pantograph. We'll take a short break, so please stay tuned.